Hello and welcome back to another episode of Throwback Reviews Podcast. This is episode 14, and this week we are doing a classic film. It may not be a classic yet, but in time it will be considered a classic film. It's the 1985 movie, The Goonies. But before we do that, let me introduce the host. My name is Sean, and with me is my good friend and buddy, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin. What's up, Door?
Very, very good. I'm not going to lie. I literally just finished watching this movie maybe 20 minutes before we connected tonight.
That's not surprising to me.
Good. Thank you.
But I know how you are.
I'm looking out for your heart.
Yes. Thank you. But I'm glad you watched it. I'm glad you got to fit it in.
I had a little bit of issues with my Plex where on my TV it was coming across a little bit shaky. So I didn't want to watch it on my TV. I wanted to watch it in best quality possible. So, yeah.
That's why I use my DVD. But
must be nice.
And also with us is our other good friend, Rob Flack O'Hara. What's going on, Rob?
What's going on, guys? I had a exciting adventure. I recently found a map, and it was going to lead me to some hidden treasure. And so I went on. Wait, that's the Goonies. That's not what I've been up to. I got it mixed up. I haven't been up to anything. It's been a long little break. We've had a little break, but I've watched Goonies probably three times since we announced we were going to do the Goonies. I watched it, and then my kids came in at the tail end, and they were like, "What's this?" You know. So I watched it with the kids, and then I just watched it again yesterday. So I'm like all Goonied out at this point.
Yeah, that's cool. You know what? I can't say I watched it like three full times, but I've watched it in parts because I keep getting interrupted. I have to do this, or I have to pick up and do that. But I've started it probably three, four times. Yep. But I enjoyed every time. It was great. I actually would like to just be able to sit and watch it from beginning to end. Yeah. Within the next couple of days, you know, maybe this weekend I'll be able to do that.
But, yeah, stay up till 3 a.m. You'll be able to do it.
Yeah. Get up at 5. That'll work.
And I would say, I'm not a person that re-watches movies a lot. I really don't, except for, of course, Star Wars. But I swear I must have watched this movie at least 30 times since my youth. Because if I ever see it even on, I don't care if there's 10 minutes left, I have to watch it.
Yeah, well, it's worth it. It's definitely a good one. And like I said, I don't think you would consider it a classic yet. I don't think it's old enough.
So close, though.
But yeah. But it will be another 10, 20 years. It definitely would be considered a classic, I think.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of movies from this era, from any era, really, that, you know, you might tune in, like you're flipping channels and you might say, oh, this movie, you know, like you come in at a dead spot. So, you know, it's going to be 15 or 20 minutes before the action kicks in. But it's like no matter where you jump in on the Goonies, something's about to happen. Yeah. You know, it's there's not a lot of slow parts in it.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good, quick paced movie, so you don't lose interest in it. And my kids, you know, they would come in here and there and be like glued to the TV. You know, they're doing something else, just passing. Oh, you watching Goonies again? And my son actually had a sleepover last night, and him and his buddy were watching it downstairs as I was watching it up here in the bedroom, cool, getting ready for bed. So it was kind of funny, but.
That might be a good conversation later after we talk about the movie is the difference between what was kid appropriate in 1985 versus what's kid appropriate today.
Yeah, absolutely. But before we actually start getting really into this movie, our last show was Thrashing. It was a great episode, great movie. We had a lot of fun talking about skating. We were all former skateboarders of sorts. But we also announced a contest. And the contest was to give away a brand new Goonies DVD. And we said we would announce that winner tonight. So we had a decent turnout of entries for it. And before the show, we used a randomizer app, gave everybody that entered a specific number, and just randomized that. And Dale Davis has won the Goonies DVD.
Woo! Dale Davis! Cool.
From Google Plus. So, I'll be getting in contact with him probably, and we'll get him out his DVD.
So my alter ego didn't go and I was trying to win it.
What's your alter ego?
Sexy Steve Valentino. Didn't do it, did he?
No. Sorry, man.
But that's weird because I keep hitting up that guy on my Cupid dating profile. Is that you? Is that you,
no
Steve?
Comment.
That's weird. You know, one thing that Sean and I talked about earlier this week is a lot of the people, I did get some messages from people that said that they would normally enter the contest, but they already had Goonies on DVD. So I think a lot of people already have this movie. I mean, it's such a classic, you know. But we do appreciate everybody that entered and helped spread the name of the podcast around a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, really appreciate it. And we're going to have more contests. I have another DVD we'll be giving away maybe in a couple shows from now. And we'll probably keep doing that. It's fun. I like doing that. So, it was a good time. Good turnout. And we appreciate everybody that entered, everybody that's been tweeting out the show and, you know, spreading the word. So.
Did you see any of the pictures that people shared? Because the thing was you were supposed to tweet throwback reviews and then mention like one of your favorite childhood toys. There was one I saw Josh Coughlin, I think it is. He's on my Facebook page and he had posted a picture of him with one of those coin operated.
Was it a claw? Was it a claw machine or?
No, it was the one where the thing would spin around and it would like shoot an egg out.
Okay.
At the bottom, and then you would open the egg, and you would get a toy. I think the one that he did was a Flintstones one.
Nice.
But I remember at the bowling alley when I was a kid had one that was a chicken. And, you know, you would put your money in, and then it would go, you know, bark, 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 and it would go around, and then eventually an egg would come out. And, of course, you would get something that's nowhere near worth a quarter or 25 cents.
Yeah,
you know?
Get the parachute with the little plastic guy.
Yeah.
Right, you know, one green army man or something. Yeah. But it was that getting that feedback from that. So I saw several. Some of the ones that were on Twitter and stuff, the different toys. So that was pretty cool to look at.
Yeah, Dale actually put a big wheel. So
he
posted a big wheel on Google Plus. So that was pretty cool. I had a big wheel as a kid. And Guy Hutchinson, he posted, what was that, a California Raisin doll or something? It was
nice.
Like a big California Raisin doll, I think he had.
I think so, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I appreciate everybody that entered a contest, spreading the word, liking us on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. It's we appreciate it a lot. So let's get into the Goonies. Rob, you want to give us our summary?
I will. You know, I took several stabs at coming up with a summary, and everyone was like 8 minutes long because there's so many parts to this movie. But basically what the Goonies is about is a group of kids that live in a housing addition, and the housing addition is about to be foreclosed on. These guys have moved in. They're about to buy out the housing addition. I think they're going to turn into a golf course. And so, you know, it's kind of like that last day before the kids are all kind of sad. And one of the kids, Mikey, who is maybe the unofficial leader of the Goonies, which is a group of kids that all live together, finds a treasure map up in the attic. And this treasure map goes off onto an adventure that is supposedly going to lead the kids to the treasure, which was hidden by One-Eyed Willie. And so the kids basically go on this adventure, and they think that this may be their last adventure. So if they find the gold and One-Eyed Willie's treasure, then they may be able to save the housing development. But, you know, if they don't, I think as a kid viewing this, maybe as an adult looking back, even if they didn't find the treasure, it was going to be one more, you know, one last adventures for the Goonies to all go on together.
Yeah.
But that is definitely the streamlined version because there's so much that goes on in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure we're going to talk about it.
I was going to say my summary is, a guy named Chunk gets made fun of, lies, gets tortured, gets abused, gets kidnapped, and then finds
saves
love.
The day. And saves the day.
Chunk definitely does get some abuse in this movie.
I know, but then
sure.
But then in the end, he finds love.
He does. He comes up with him and Sloth come in. So
yeah. Well, speaking of Chunk and Sloth, you know, this movie had a lot of actors in it, a lot of well-known actors that we know of now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Sean Astin and Josh Brolin, which was in Thrashing last week. You know, we had Corey Feldman, one of the two Coreys, and Joe, what's his name, Bob?
Pantoliano.
Yeah, whatever. He's been in a lot of movies, and then he was in Sopranos for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I got a couple of the actors, just three of them, that aren't big standouts nowadays, but I found interesting.
Okay.
And speaking of Chunk, there's Jeff Cohen who played Chunk.
Right.
And he went on, like, afterwards, you know, he went on to do a couple episodes of Amazing Stories back in, like, 85, 86. There's an episode of Family Ties that he did. I found that. It was kind of funny. Seemed to be the same type of, you know, right. character. And that's episode 7 of season 3. And it's on Netflix, too. So I have that in my queue. I'd like to watch that one. And he did some producing, but I guess he's a lawyer now, too.
Yep. He looks like a man.
And that's what I was going to say.
Yes.
You know, you look at him in this movie, he's the, like you said, Dor, the guy, the kid that's picked on, the chubby kid, you know. But I would say he's probably turned to be probably the best looking shape-wise and everything of all the people that were in it, maybe up against like Josh Brolin or something, but like, I mean, Corey Feldman, you know, Sean Astin, you know, they're
yeah.
You know.
Do you think that's because of I mean, you gotta think once you know, think about every kid that you knew at that age. I mean, that's an easy age to be made fun of, to be ridiculed, you know, and to come out and you would be the kid that did the truffle shuffle on it. I mean, and even, you know, us, I mean, hearing myself on a podcast or seeing myself when I do a YouTube video or whatever, I'm like, oh, like I think I am Sloth, you know. So imagine being at that age and doing the truffle shuffle on a movie screen of that, you know, people that you knew doing that. So I wonder if that had something to, you know, have to do with his turnaround, because he's very in shape now.
I don't know. The only kid we made fun of like that as a kid is now a pill addict, and he looks just as bad.
He didn't turn it around, you're saying?
I could see that, you know, being a major factor in it.
Well, that just reminds me of the part, tell us everything, kid. And then he got to the part, and my mom sent me to a fat camp, and I went crazy, and I ate, and I got kicked out.
Well, you know, you could see, I mean, as an actor, as a child actor, who's, I mean, especially from Goonies, you could see how it would have been easy to typecast him in that type of role as the overweight, humorous sidekick.
I know,
type
but
guy.
He was,
you know, I don't know what he did in.
He was really humorous. Right.
Is that what he did in Family Ties, Sean?
He was like the you know comic relief from what I saw. I haven't watched the whole episode. I kind of actually when I was doing some research on him, I found the episode, skimmed through it a little bit, but I have Family Ties in my queue, so I figured, well, I'll just watch the whole episode. It looks like a funny episode. The part that I watched, he was funny. But
I'm sure. And I'll say I've been critical of especially child actors in this podcast series. I seriously have few doubts in my mind. This is maybe the movie that had the most child talent of any movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Nobody stood out as being did a bad job, I don't think.
Right.
No. Another one. We know him as Short Round.
Oh yeah, baby.
Or Data. His real name, Jonathan Ke Kwan. Now he went on. He did. It said 19 episodes of Together We Stand. When I looked up the show, looked familiar. I'll be honest, I didn't watch it. It struck me as familiar. But one that you guys may have remembered was he was in like 22 episodes ahead of the class. But I don't think he started to like the fifth season maybe or something like that. Yeah, fifth season he came on.
I like that.
That's another one. I watched it here and there. It wasn't like I have to sit down and watch it every week, but I definitely remember that one. Together We Stand. Do you guys ever watch it, Dor?
I don't remember hearing about it ever.
Yeah, I didn't. How about you, Rob? You drawn a blank on that one?
No, yeah. To me, he's Data and Short Round. I mean, that's what I remember him from for sure. Yeah. You know, and he had a lot of one thing, you know, I know that he played on in both of those movies. He kind of had broken English and stuff. But in both movies, in Goonies and A Temple of Doom, he has a lot of quotable lines, you know. So I think that's probably what he's remembered probably best for.
Yeah. So but it's nice to see that he did some stuff. And I guess now he's like a stunt coordinator. I think he did Taekwondo and some other mixed martial arts and stuff like that. And
cool.
I think he might even work with, not Jackie Chan, Jet Li maybe. or something like that. So
very cool.
Yeah. It's nice to know that he went on to do some stuff.
Oh yeah.
Maybe he trains people with the pinchers of power in some of his.
Yeah. And I would say one of the things I found almost ironic was watching it now. His name was Data back when Data wasn't what Data was today. Mm. You know, back then Data, I mean, computers weren't computers. They were big machines sitting in closets at government institutions that did nothing. Oh, wait, sorry, that's today. No. But Data meant something different back then. And I cannot remember what I thought of when I heard that word back in the past. It's just one of those things that you can't relate unless you were there kind of thing.
Right. And the last one was Sloth. Now, I never thought to even, who is the guy who played Sloth? And until Rob and I were talking earlier this week, and I said, let me look up who played Sloth. And it was John Matuska, who was a football player, former football player. And he did a bunch of cameos on TV shows. I mean, a lot of them that we'll both, the three of us will know. Miami Vice, A-Team, Perfect Strangers. He ended up dying of a, he died of a drug overdose, pain medicine from, I guess, suffering like from chronic back pain from when he was a football player. But,
right.
But this is the main reason I put him on here is if you're at work, you don't want to do a Google image search probably because he did some, he must have been in like Playgirl or something, man. Cause I'm at work.
Really?
I'm at work looking up who this guy is. And I'm like, oh crap.
We're going to hear Rob's keyboard click. Yeah.
Here we go.
And I tried to coax you guys in the other day after I did it. I was trying to be, just all nonchalant about, oh, hey, have you guys ever heard of this guy who played Sloth? He doesn't look familiar to me. You do a Google search, an image search, but you guys never responded.
Nope. So which is worse for you? The fact that your coworkers see you looking for naked pictures of Sloth or that they know that you watch Murder, She Wrote at your desk?
Honestly, neither one. It doesn't matter.
They just know. They know.
I mean, we're all a bunch of weirdos in our own way at my work. It's all dudes. So,
Did I see? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, for us to joke around about that, it's not a big deal. They all know.
Didn't you say here? I think you sent me a thing that said he was in Caveman.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Caveman.
Yeah. I'm not sure which guy he was. I mean, I know he wasn't Ringo.
He was a big guy. I can tell you that.
Right. Well, there was another guy. I mean, I don't think he was the biggest one. Was a different. I think there was another football player. Now I'd have to look it up. But
well, when we're done, just do a Google image search and see if he looks familiar.
Yeah.
All right. I'll do that right now.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But those are just a couple actors. You go ahead, Dor.
I would say, if you look at a face picture of this guy, you will definitely notice him if you're anywhere around our age, because he was in so many things like Miami Vice. I watched the Goonies, like I said, 20 times before. I had no idea that was him. And yeah, in Caveman, I believe he was the big bad guy.
And he, is watching Sloth now as an adult, watching the movie. I mean, he did a good job. I mean, he really, I thought, played that character great. When I was a kid watching, it was just, all right, this big-headed, lopsided-eyed guy
right,
making noises. But I thought he did a great job in the movie. So,
It takes some. I know that I've seen some different interviews with people. I remember seeing an interview with Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca, And he really talked about how you have to, with your eyes or in Sloth's, his eye. But, you really have to kind of, act and get that emotion through. And you could do that, I mean, it's funny because you think with a mask, it would hide, the actor's emotion and stuff. But there's more than just the face. It's the whole thing. But, yeah, he's another guy. I think Dora already said this, but everybody in this movie, I thought, did a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the acting in this movie with and just being pretty much kids other than the the Fratelli family.
Yeah.
And even the mother, that as I watched her, I now as an adult, I don't know, I just paid more attention to it. She was really good in this movie too. Before, I just as a kid just thought of her as like this grumpy lady, And I got to say, one of my favorite, I wrote a couple scenes down.
Say it. I know you're going to say it.
That really stood out to me. And when the kids come to the old restaurant where the families where they're staying, hiding out, and she finally gets all the kids out of there, and she just leans against the door, puts her heads up, and just says, "Kids suck." Yeah. I don't remember that as a kid, but man, I was just like, "Go, Mama! That was great. That part was awesome."
Yeah, and you know, I mean, you could tell she's had her own kids, mm-hmm. and now she's, you know, her kids are grown, and now you've got these other kids, and so she's already been through that before. But yeah, you do get that. And it's a funny moment, and I think that's a sign of a great movie, is one that relates to multiple generations. You know what I mean? When you're a kid and you're watching this movie, you think you're one of the Goonies. You know, you want to go on this adventure, whatever. Like, as an adult, when I was watching it, one of the things I was thinking about is, you know, kids, I mean, of course, you have your memories of going on, you know, little adventures like that, but you do kind of see it from a different perspective, you know, as you're older.
Yeah, absolutely. And I swear every 20 to 30 minutes, there was at least one line that could have been taken out, and that would have been a catchphrase, because it just was packed with one line. See, I thought the scene you were going to say, Sean, was the scene where Rosalita gets the tour of the house and Corey mouth translates stuff for her. You put the heroin in the top drawer, the marijuana in the middle drawer, and the cocaine in the bottom drawer. You must separate your drugs.
And I think you had that backwards, but
I'm sorry. No. Well, then I would have been put in the closet then, because
was my top note. Yeah, as a matter of fact,
because as a kid, I thought nothing. I didn't think anything about that. Now yeah. I hear that, I'm like, I don't know if I want my kids to hear that.
You know what? That was the first. Is that before the statue gets broken? Or after. Is that after
That's
the
statue? After.
Okay. So the statue, and we could talk about these if you want, but the statue, there's a scene early on in the movie where the kids break a statue, and it's a nude statue, so it is anatomically correct.
That's her favorite part.
Right, and her favorite part gets broken off, you know? And
is it a statue of David or something? Is that what it was?
Some Greek Roman thing, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, Goonies is a PG movie. And so I'm like, you know, anything that's PG, I'm like, that's okay with the kids. You know, I'll let my kids watch PG stuff. We've talked about their 8 and 11. And so that was the first part that made me cringe when they're holding around, you know, trying to glue this anatomically correct part back on the statue. And then right after that is the scene that you mentioned. Right. Where they're giving Rosalita, and they said something about there being a sex dungeon.
Yes.
And then I'm like, you know, and then I get the look from my wife, like, I mean, we've seen the Goonies. Yeah. You know, we all grew up with the Goonies, and we saw it when we were their age, but it's just a different level of what was PG back then versus today.
Yeah, but you know what? As far as, like, that scene goes anyways, I look at it like this, because I don't think my kids were even – well, my youngest can't read. And I think my other two are just, I honestly think they're just too lazy to even read what they were saying. And that's probably, you know, that's probably what I did as a kid. I probably wasn't really, I just knew I could feel the humor and how she was reacting to Corey Feldman. So, I mean, I probably didn't even read what was going on with that anyways.
Yeah. Honestly, because it was in text, for some reason, I felt it was safer, and they never really zoomed in on the statue too much, and that was its only saving grace to me. But I will say, I love the fact Chunk put it on upside down and said, "What? It looks fine to me." Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want to know what's going on with his junk.
You know what? And I'm not really a huge fan of Corey Feldman.
Same
normally,
here.
His movies. I mean, I don't mind him and stuff. I don't think I'm not an actor. You know, I just don't find him to be the I don't know, whatever. But I thought in this movie, I thought he was great for the part. I think he played that part perfect.
Right. I think he's okay as that sidekick kind of role, and in a group of people, you know. It's whatever I think more like, especially when the two Coreys, like the license to drive era, those type of things, when they tried to push him as a star, you know, and that's when he really got on my nerves. Right. I'm even okay with him, I think, and probably up to the Lost Boys.
Right.
I mean, that's a borderline, you know. But yeah, once they tried making him you know, a leading type character or whatever. It didn't work for me. But, you know, as a ensemble
right.
member or whatever, I thought he was okay.
Utterly agree. And in this movie, I'm sorry, I believed him when he picked up that coin in the well and he said, yeah, but this is my coin for my wish that didn't come true. And I'm going to take all of them. It was perfect because he didn't have to do too much. He didn't have high expectations. Like you said, he was just part of a group. And that's where I think he really did fit best.
Yeah. And that was his like serious moment where, you know, he's always the comic relief. He's always that. And then you get to that one moment where he's like,
bitter.
He's had enough. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. Right. And you can kind of see where it came from. So yeah, absolutely.
So I wanted to ask you guys, so just based on like the characteristics of the kids, the Goonies, like, can you picture yourself more so of one of them? You know, I'm not saying as a kid, physically, just the type of character that they were. Mm-hmm. Dor?
In my head, I was definitely Data, but in real life, I guess Mikey, only because he was the most normal one. He was the most plain one, I'll say. I didn't have the puffy hair. Dude, he had really puffy hair. Mouth. Chunk was clumsy as all get out. I wasn't super clumsy. You know, and I wasn't the big brother. I was never looked up, you know, to at all. So I guess I'd have to say Mikey.
Mikey. All right. How about you, Rob?
I would say that the spirit of the character, I would probably say Mikey, just because I was the kid, that would launch the adventure. Mm-hmm. Like I would talk my friends into like, hey, we should do this, you know, and I would get everybody to do it. So I would say the spirit of the character, I feel like I was more Mikey. Physically, I was definitely either Chunk or Sloth, perhaps. Maybe it was a mixture. Like I had the face of Sloth and the body of Chunk. So, but yeah, no, I think, you know, when my friends would come over, I would be the kid that would, I always had the plans that would get us in trouble, yeah. You know, like, hey, let's go do this or whatever. And then I would talk everybody into that. So I feel like that's probably was my role.
All right. Yeah. Okay. You? I would say I was Mouth. I still am.
You got the hair.
I'm not saying physically. I'm, you know, I was definitely, and I still am the, you know, the smart ass, the one that would, Rob, we talked about this before on the side, you know, the one that would say the wrong thing at the wrong time or,
right,
you know,
right.
Didn't know when to, and still don't know when to stop. when too far is too far. So
right. Well, the two quickies I wanted to make sure I said about this movie was very beginning of the movie. Mouth comes up to the door, Knox comes in. Chunk comes up to the gate, can't get in. They have to unlock the gate. And I said to myself, wait a minute, if they had to unlock the gate for Chunk, how did Mouth get in? Wait a minute. I am not going to question anything about this movie again. I'm sorry, the soul of the Goonies movie. I'm along for the ride. You don't question the Goonies.
Yeah, I think if you start picking apart this movie, it's fairly easy to do. Suspension of belief. I know that Sean and I earlier in the week talked about the bicycle scene. And there's a scene where, first of all, Mikey's older brother. Oh, what's his brother's name now?
Brand.
Yeah, Brand. Where he has to chase the Goonies and go find the Goonies. So he gets on a child's bicycle. You know, it even has a training wheels on it, right?
Yep.
And so anybody who's we find out that he has just failed his driving test, right. So we know he's 16. So if you've ever tried to ride a child's bike, and you've probably kneed yourself in the face.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, so it's very difficult to do. And then, you know, his friends come up who have just got their driver's license and they grab onto his hand and they haul him down the road doing 40 miles an hour or something. And, you know, at some point, I mean, the whole movie, you have to just say, well, this is the kind of world that the Goonies live in. And, you know, you just have to kind of put some of that stuff, you know, just accept it for what.
You definitely have to. And it's so easy to, if you watch this and then just, you know, throw yourself back to 1985 as a kid. Because I got to say, and this is not to say that I didn't like the movie as a kid. I love the movie as a kid. I not watched the movie in a few years. I actually watched it with my oldest boy a few years back and kind of felt in the beginning, like, which is some of the language, not that it was real bad, but I was just like, maybe he's just a little too young. Cause we always think everything, I think parenting was a little different when we were kids.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think we all can agree that we probably watched stuff that we shouldn't have back then. And now we're a little more on top of it, you know, mm-hmm. but, so I definitely loved this movie as a kid. Kind of slept away from it. I have to say, I think I enjoyed this movie more now even than I did as a kid.
I believe it.
Really, really, really enjoyed this, man. Really enjoyed this. But I am older. I can't just go and do anything. I have to go to work. I have to take care of my kids. Right. So what I want to ask you guys is, do you remember as watching as a kid, you know, did it spark you to go and do like adventures around your neighborhood or make up stuff like that?
Dude, perfect question. Because I said two things earlier. The first thing was I'm not going to question anything. The second thing was for some reason as a kid, everything about the movie seemed plausible and real mm-hmm. and could happen. And I still to this day can't explain it. There's no doubt in my mind. Later that year, when we went out and we started building like sand forts, digging forts in the ground and putting wood over top of them, we were thinking, we're the Goonies, we're the Goonies, we're the Goonies. Because somehow that movie ingrained itself into our consciousness as something that could factually happen. In some weird
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I remember so many times of, you know, going out and deciding that, you know, we were going to do this crazy idea. When we were little kids, we were going to dig to China. I think everybody tried to do that one time, you know. We had a fort in my backyard, and we had actually built traps, which were nowhere as complex as what we see in the Goonies. But we had actually, this is terrible, actually, but we had put and trees, like with branches that were really thin, we had put bricks up in there with the idea, because it was on this slope. And so the idea was that if kids climbed up and they grabbed onto a tree to pull themselves up, the bricks would fall
nice.
And keep them away. Right. So, but you're right. Absolutely. You know,
dude, if my kid did that, I'd kill him.
We made like punji sticks. Like we would put nails in boards. We had to defend our fort, you know. We didn't put up with any crap from my neighborhood kids. But anyway, the point is that now, like you think, well, we were kids digging a hole that was probably 3 foot deep when we got done, you know. But when we were in that moment when we were kids, we really thought we were digging to China, or we really thought we were going to find, you know, treasure or do all those things. And so that's what the film encapsulates to me, is that even if the adventure isn't necessarily totally realistic, I mean, some of the traps that One-Eyed Willie has set up, I mean, as I'm watching it as an adult, I'm thinking, what did he put a team of 200 people you know, to do this or whatever? But as an adult, it's that feeling of going on those adventures that I think it captures.
Yeah. And you're right, all those things, the boulders hanging from the ceiling, the organ scene, all those things, I gotta be honest, like if this were just some other movie, we probably would pick at it a little bit more, but I think probably I'm speaking for all of us that we did go back to being a kid watching this movie and you just did not care. It was just such a good movie, a good adventure movie for a kid. You know, it shows them sticking together mm-hmm. to overcome things, believing in each other. Like Andy at the Oregon, you know, Data just, you know, doing his grease sneakers on the log when the Fratellis are, you know, coming down into the caverns over after them, you know.
And Sean, that's a good point that I don't think as a kid I didn't pick up on this, but rewatching it this time, one thing that I picked up on was no matter which Goonie that you associated with or whatever, pretty much all of them had, you know, some focus in the movie. They all had a role.
It wasn't
just nobody was there that was just a background. I mean, there's, you know, like what you said with Data's slick shoes, you know, I mean, he, that's his moment of the movie, you know. I mean, he saves you know, he throws the Fratellis off. There's the, you know, of course, a lot of it focuses on Mikey. You've got the scene in the well with Mouth, like you mentioned, you know, so it's like everybody has a purpose in this movie. So no matter who you related to as a kid, there's that one moment where they shine, you know, and you can really relate to them, because it's easy. I think as a kid, like when I think about, like what we were talking about, our adventures as kids, I see it from my point of view, but you think the other kids I played with, they saw it from their point of view, you know? So in your own memories, everybody's the star.
Yeah. See, and that's why I didn't associate with any of the Goonies. I would have been the Goonie who was there the whole time, but did nothing. He was just along for the trek. but I'll say the one scene in this movie that I utterly appreciated versus other movies was the kissing scene. Because this is how I think kids' movies should do it. Almost humorous, out of the way, non-focal point, actually pulled off camera, kiss happens, then come back. Your imagination is what you're supposed to use for these things, not blatant stuff. That's what adults call porn. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With kids, it's all imagination. And that's what I thought this movie did better than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like what we were saying with some of the other things, like their adventures or whatever, it doesn't capture the video of that, of his first kiss, but it I know for me, it captures that feeling, right, of the first kiss of, you know, that the girl that pulls him aside and, you know, he's probably not doing things right, or you know what I mean, but and he's taken off of he's definitely caught off guard, and but it's That thing where it's not perfect, but it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Right. And like one of the scenes in that movie that I never remember until it happens, that I keep remembering, this is the kind of thing that made this movie epic, was right after he said, there's the girl room, here's the boys' rooms. Big boy says, here's the men's room. And then when they leave that area, they pan back a little bit and you realize they're going into a skull. That, to me, epic. I love that kind of dropping of stuff in the movie where they didn't have to do it. It just added to it.
Yeah. And I didn't notice that stuff as a kid.
Right. I think I did because someone told me, just like my sister told me, it makes no sense. How is there so much light down here in these caves? Shut up. I'm watching a movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I wrote down, you know, a few inconsistencies, but...
Oh, go ahead.
But
crush me.
But no. But as I'm watching them, again, they stood out, but I was just like, ugh. Like there's scenes where they're like soaking wet and then like 2 seconds later, they're dry.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, I don't even care. I mean, and it's mm-hmm. a Spielberg film. I can't believe you let it go, but I don't care, you know? But, you know, it's a touching story as far as a group of kids sticking together for something they really, you know, believe in. And it's just the adventure, because I know I had plenty of adventures as a kid.
Right. And I think there's something about this story that's so whimsical is not quite the right word. Fantastic, maybe, that I didn't get caught up in the technical things of, you know what I mean? Like what you're saying, like, you know, things from one scene to the next or whatever, because for me, every time I watch this movie, I'm taken back to that. I mean, when Goonies came out, this is 85, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was 12. I mean, I was the Goonies age, and my friends, I mean, we were the Goonies. So, you know, when I saw this movie, that's when we left the movie theater, all I wanted to do was get on my bike with my friends and go find our own treasure.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember I told one of my buddies who's overseas, I said, if you watch this movie, you have to understand how we saw it. We saw it as almost a Americana folklore put into theatrics, because it was supposed to be about this small time, you know, group of people in the boondocks having a hard time, you know, and working a miracle out of it. And, you know, staying friends, because I mean, like, Data was going to go to Detroit. He would not have made it mm-hmm. in Detroit.
Yeah, they were all going to be split up. I mean, this was could have been their last adventure.
Oh, it was supposed to be up to the last second. Supposed mm-hmm. to be. And I will say the one thing I remember as a kid, even that I thought I almost made me giddy because I got the connection. Me, little naive 13-year-old, was when Chunk and Sloth are in the basement of the restaurant. He calls the police up and the police is like, who is this? Are you telling more stories? And he mentions just like the little animals that multiply when you put water on them.
Yeah.
I was like, gremlins. Yes.
Yeah, that was definitely cool. I caught that this time. Didn't catch that probably as a kid. Maybe I did, but
I caught it as a kid because that movie I loved, but freaked me out.
Yeah.
Completely freaked me out.
What year did Gremlins come out?
I think 83.
84?
I believe it. I rationalized all of my time before or after Hulk Hogan broke out of the camel clutch in 1984. I believe it was before. So I'm going to say 83.
Yeah, the Gremlins, you know, I recently watched Gremlins with my kids, too. And it's scarier than I remember, too. And I don't want to segue off too much into Gremlins, but there is a scene in there where is Phoebe Cates? Is that? No. Whoever the female lead in Gremlins.
Oh, from Gremlins? Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not Phoebe Cates. Yeah, but she goes into her speech about how her father died. You remember he died dressed up as Santa Claus?
Yeah.
And he dies in the fireplace. And then she basically looks to the guy and says, and that's when I learned there was no Santa. And I was watching that with my kids and I'm like, oh my God, you know? So I was like, well, that's just the movie, kids. Like I start trying to backpedal real quick, you know? But yeah. And to bring it back to Goonies, just like there was some language in Goonies that I guess I didn't remember as a kid, but now watching with my kids, I certainly remember. My wife will not let me forget that I just had them through. Like I said, PG, I think, until PG-13 became more commonplace, PG was rougher back then. I mean, now, you know, all the Pixar movies are PG.
Yeah.
And this certainly is rougher than a Pixar movie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we've touched on that before, too, how the standards have just completely changed because we do that. I know I've done it where I'm like, oh, it's okay. I watched it as a kid. Well, things were different when we were kids. You know, like you said, this would definitely probably be, it probably would be PG-13 just for maybe some language.
Well, and I would say the one thing about this movie that I watched almost made me sad was I can only speak for what I see. My kids and my relatives' kids and my friends' kids, I know no kids could watch this movie and grasp the outdoor expedition odyssey quest aspect of it like I think we had.
Right. So Sean and I talked about this a little bit earlier in the week. My wife was looking at, there's a Girl Scout camp here locally that has basically gone up for sale. And it's the camp that she went to when she was a kid, when she was a Girl Scout. So there's really no way we can afford to buy a Girl Scout camp. But, you know, we set up a time with the realtor, so we went to go look at it. And so my wife and I and the kids, we went and met the realtor. And it's like 350 acres of grass and mountains and this whole thing that, you know, when she was a kid, she went to camp there and she would explore. So we go out there with the realtor and we basically have free reign of the place. You know, we're looking at stuff for the realtor and we get there and my kids are like, hey, is it cool if we stay in the car? I'm like, no, right. It's not cool if you stay in the car. There's 300 acres. There's mountains. There's trees to climb. There's a zip line on this thing, which, you know, when we were kids, we would have killed to have
literally
unfettered. Yeah, absolutely. Probably killed ourselves on it. Yeah, you're right. And you know, so there's all these things and that's the first thing out of my kid's mouth is, you know, is it cool if we stay in the car and play on our iPads? Oh. And I was just like, you know, and it was funny that we happened to be, that we watched the Goonies this week, because I was thinking as a kid, this would be the perfect place for a Goonie adventure. My wife told me up on the mountains, there are caves that you can go into these little holes and go explore. And I thought, God, I mean, you know, I'm not going mountain climbing up to go look at caves at this point. But if I was a kid, I would totally be over that, you know? And so I just wonder, you know, with and I don't know how you guys are, but, you know, when I was a kid, it was, especially during the summer, which is where we are right now. You know, in the morning we would have breakfast and then we would go outside. We knew to come home for lunch when we were hungry. Right. We would go out, we would come home for dinner, and then we would go out and, you know, we would play Ghost in the Graveyard and, you know, hide and seek and stuff until basically our parents would come out and turn, if you turn on a porch light, that was our sign
on
to
off,
come
on
home,
off,
you know?
On off, on off.
Absolutely. But we would spend the whole day outside and my kid right now is playing Call of Duty in the other room. I mean, he's been doing it since we got home. And it's just totally different. And I wonder if kids of this generation can relate to this movie like we did.
No, I don't think they can.
No, they can't. Because when we were kids, it was like the Goonies as far as like their father was working. The mother was doing whatever, coming in and out. The kids were piling at the house. Like that just doesn't happen anymore like that. You know, you got... You know, in the summer, you got to take the kid to summer camp or have them go do this or go to, you know, have this person watch or whatever. It's totally different now.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
And I'll just say, the only positive spin I can put on it is it's not that they're missing out. It's just that they're experiencing something different. Hopefully, when they're older, they can look back and they can think of positive things that happen and positive connections with other things. But dare I say, and I'm not a nature guy at all. You know, the planet's going to be fine. Us humans are going to die kind of thing. but I was literally connected with nature. I was out climbing trees, digging forts, making dirt tracks for bike tracks and all this kind of stuff as a kid. And my kid, if he goes 50 feet out my front door, it's a miracle.
Oh, yeah. And my wife is... one of those that if your kid is on the next aisle at Walmart, then somebody's going to kill
right.
him. You know, yeah. I mean, my wife is surprised every time if one of our kids is, you know, out of her sight for 30 seconds, she's sure someone has beheaded
yes.
him. And so, you know, like I said, when we were kids, my neighborhood was like a rectangle and there was only one exit basically.
Right.
So, you know, as long as you stayed, there was six blocks, and as long as you stayed in that area,
right.
you know, you could free roam. And now, you know, we don't let our kids play out in the front yard. There's some kids, you know, across the street or whatever. And when they go over there, then we find something to do in our front yard so we could see what's going on, you know. But that free reign exploration that we had back then, my kids don't have today. And I mean, maybe some parents do, I don't know, but.
Well, I have to do this quick story real quick. This is an example of how our kids secretly train us these days and how when we were kids, our parents did more training of us. We were in a store. I was young. My mom noticed I kept getting distracted, looking at stuff, and she got tired of telling me to come on. She literally turned around, saw I wasn't paying attention, went around the corner, round back, around the other way behind me, and was watching me from the backside. And I'm just sitting there distracted. Then I put my hand up and I grab a lady's hand and I start walking down the aisle like 30 seconds. And then I finally look up and say something to her. And it's like, you're not my mom. And then my mom just sits there. She's still just peeking around the corner. And then she sees me drop her hand and just start running back the other way. And then she just stands there. She just waits for me to come around the corner of the aisle and says, "Huh, you're going to pay attention now, ain't you, stupid?" Yeah. Where now, today, it's like, "Come on, son, come on, son, come on, son, come on, son, come on."
Yeah,
like our,
don't do that.
I know.
Don't do that.
Sure.
I try to tell my wife, look, they're training us.
Yeah. The a grocery store that my mom used to go to when I was a kid to go do grocery shopping had two arcade games set up right next to the exit. I mean, within feet of the exit. So we would walk in and my mom would give us a few quarters or whatever. And there was a Moon Patrol and Galaga, I think, you know, right. And so we would sit there and play. And I think now, like, literally you could not make it any easier for a child to get abducted than to put an arcade right. game next to the exit of a store. I mean, somebody walking out would have grabbed us by the hair and we would have been outside in 2 seconds, you know. But back then, that's how it was. You know, we would go into a store and my mom would say, "You better be at the video games or you better be at the magazine rack."
Right. Well,
it would be one of those two places.
Well, sorry, I was going to say super quick. As a kid, I remember the idea of stranger danger. And I watched a Penn and Teller episode, which I believe was packed full of mostly accurate things about how completely false Stranger Danger is. How like 98% of the time a kid goes missing, it's a relative or a friend of the family. It's not a stranger. I know that. I know that. At the same token, I still get that tug that something might be wrong. Because I love my kid.
That 2%, right.
Right. Sure, well, no, just because I love my kid, but Lord, he's weak. He's frail. You know what I mean? He's frail.
Right. Well, I just told this story, and I won't tell the whole thing because I just told it on the last episode of You Don't Know Flack. But my mom had given us a code word, because what they were afraid of, remember there was they were afraid that a stranger would come in and say, well, your parents are outside. They want you to come out.
Right.
So we had a secret code word. So if someone had come in and told us that code word, but if they didn't, then we weren't supposed to leave with them, But that was, that was pretty much all the stranger danger we had. Other than that, my parents were like, good luck.
Was the code word muffins?
You know what? I just said this on my podcast. I didn't say what it was because we use the same code word for my kids.
I'm sorry.
So I don't. But it was, I'll just say it was Star Wars related. So now if somebody tries to abduct my kids, I'll be like, right, is it Boba Fett? Is it Yoda? Is it Jabba the Hutt? And then eventually they'll be like, is it Stormtrooper? Yep. And then my kids will leave with them.
TK421.
Exactly, right.
Anyway, to bring it back to the Goonies, I think there was some of this protectiveness though too, because Bran was in charge of Mike.
Yeah.
Mikey, and that's how he got involved, and that's how his that's how his story gets involved with what's her name?
Amy, I want to say.
Then Martha Plunkett, or was it Plunkett or Plunkett or something like that? Martha Plimpton, her character, Steph. That's how they get all tied into this, because of Bran, because of his confrontations with Troy, which Troy's dad is the guy who is trying to make all of this happen with the golf course and everything. And I think Troy's character was definitely your stereotypical 80s douchebag.
Yep.
Definitely played the part.
He had his letter jacket on. He has the convertible Mustang. He's got, the whole. Now, I'll tell you something that I thought this time, and I never thought this before, but watching this movie with more analytical I guess this time around, I wonder if Bran and the other people were in there to make this movie appeal to an older age group.
I'll go for that.
Because, the movie is about the Goonies, and it's about these kids, and that's who you're rooting for or whatever. But it's like the older kids that are there, I don't know. They are still there and they have their part of the plot, but I almost wondered if it was, because at that time it wouldn't be uncommon for older brother or sister maybe to take kids to the movies, and so I wondered if they were there for more of that reason.
Yeah, they definitely probably could have been because Brand, I wouldn't say he was a Goonie. He definitely wasn't fitting in with Troy as far as economic status, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see that, because Andy and Steph, they were more on Troy's level. It seemed to be, at least. But yeah, I guess, because he didn't have to really do a lot to protect his brother, I guess, in a sense. They all, like I said before, they all took care of each other,
Right. But the other thing that I thought, and again, like I said, watching it more critical this time is, your target audience is the kids that are rooting for the Goonies, like we were. We were all, I guess, basically the same age as the Goonies when this movie came out. And what I liked was it wasn't the older brother saving the day. It wasn't the older kids that were doing it. It was the Goonies that pulled all these things off, and so I liked that. And I think maybe that's why I still enjoy this movie so much today is that the Goonies are empowered, I guess. You know what I mean? They're not the ones sitting around waiting for their parents to come up with a plan. The parents didn't have a plan. They're ready to have their homes foreclosed on. The older kids, they weren't doing this. It was Mikey and it was the Goonies who were the ones that had that last, you know, they were going to try and save the day one last time.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They're the ones with the drive. Everyone else kind of had given up in a sense. I know another one of my favorite scenes, was after the Oregon scene, the water slide.
Yeah,
man, that scene, watching it today. And as I'm watching it, I don't know what character it was supposed to be, but whoever the stunt guy was doing like
some rolling really around,
nice precision rolling, and almost like, comparable to like a skater or something, like just making some really cool moves and everything. But that water slide, man, just looks so much fun. Just looked like so much fun.
Yeah, as a kid, I thought, yeah, that looks like a blast. And then as a grown-up watching it, I thought, how dangerous. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
one jagged rock.
Exactly. You know, I'm like, that's going to be a copay. That's stitches right there.
Yeah. And then, you know, they dump out into, like, I don't know what they consider like an in a cavernous, like, lagoon or something, yeah. Right? And I had read that scene when they see the ship was like their first time seeing the ship,
right?
Like they wouldn't let them see it for like months.
Oh, really?
They wanted like a genuine reaction. Natural, right. But I will say that I found a video of Josh Brolin, who was on, I want to say he was on like Conan O'Brien or something, one of those late night shows, where they were talking about that. And from what his recollection of it was, his first initial reaction was, you know, they couldn't put in a movie. It was like, holy shit, you know, when he saw it. And they're like, wait. So I don't know if they just cut that out. And because if you watch that scene now after I've said that, like, especially like Andy, look at Andy's face. She just has this like glow, like they're just like, oh my god, this ship. Because like for months they're probably being told about the ship, but they can't see it. And I guess they had them like in the water, come up from underwater and face the other way, and then do the turnaround, and there was the actual first reveal.
Right.
Yeah, the most amazing, and this is one of the things that I think that as we from our generation appreciate this more than say my kids, is my kids have grown up in a world where anything is possible on film. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you watch, you know, if your first exposure to, let's say, film is, just coming up with something here, Terminator 2, and you watch a guy morph into molten metal and back into a, you know what I mean? So, I mean, at that point, anything is really possible. I mean, when you've seen Independence Day, and see the White House blow up, and you know what I mean? There's like nothing that's shocking to kids at this point. So my kids, as we were watching it, they were like, oh, the pirate ship. But to me, I'm like, somebody built a pirate ship. That's not CGI. Right. That's not whatever, you know. I mean, that somebody actually made that. And really, that goes with the entire film. I mean, like what you talked about with the water slide and, you know, all the traps that go on and inside the pirate ship. But those are actual locations that people built. And to me, I'm sure that's where some of those kids, I mean, seeing something on that scale for the first time, I probably had the same look on my face that they had.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you guys love to be able to climb on that ship even now? To this day?
I would immediately swim as fast as I can and climbed up and just ran up and back.
That thing was really cool. And I did notice a little CGI, like when they're showing after the rocks, like it starts crumbling down and coming down, you can see, kind of reminded me of like an asteroids or something, you know,
right.
Falling into the water. But I mean,
now, did you know, where they come down the slide and they go into the water and then they come up, there is a deleted scene that's cut out of Goonies from right there. That's the infamous
octopus.
Octopus, right. And so I don't know. I want to say in either the DVD, we'll have to ask our DVD winner if it's on there. Maybe the new edition of the DVD, but I know I've seen stills from it. I don't know if that I've ever seen video, but there was a scene where the Goonies were supposed to battle an octopus, and I think it was just looked too hokey or whatever. I think that's why it got cut out. But I do know that there was a octopus battle that was supposed to. But really, if you think about the Goonies adventure, I mean, they come down the slide, they're out of danger, and then the next thing they see, it's a natural thing that you would see the pirate ship, you know?
Well, yeah, I'll say I understand why I think they initially thought about the octopus scene, but it so wasn't needed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's referenced. I stepped away, so I don't know if you said it, but they do reference it at the end when the news crew is interviewing Data. Yep. Mentions, I believe, the octopus. I just grabbed the DVD when you said that we were giving away to Dale, and it does say that it has special features with hidden video treasures on it, so with commentary and everything. So it probably is on this DVD. So Dale will see the octopus scene. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know about the octopus scene until Rob, you had mentioned it the other day to me, and then I picked up on when Data mentions it at the end. And as a kid, I probably just thought, oh, they're kind of tall-tailing this thing as they're telling the police.
Yeah, I think, by that point in time, you've had the Fratellis, who had guns, which was scary as a kid, you know? I mean, they had shot the gun or whatever. So you've got the Fratellis that have got after them. You've got the One-Eyed Willy's traps that have almost caught them. You know, Data almost gets, like the Prince of Persia treatment.
Yep.
Like he falls down and almost gets impaled on the spikes, you know? So you have these things. So I don't know that one more peril. I mean, at that point you got to move the movie forward, I think. So I think it would just be labored where they need to get to the treasure.
Yeah. And speaking of the Fratellis, cause we really didn't, we really been talking more about the actual Goonies themselves. I thought the three of them, they played real well. I know Joe Pantaleone, I had seen something where he had said that, and I'm not really, I don't recall the name of the guy who played his brother. I can look it up real quick, but that they actually didn't really get along that great, I guess, at first. I'm assuming they're friendly now, but so that kind of, I think it's what Robert Davey that played Jake, I think his brother. So it kind of helped because they're like brothers that are constantly bickery, right. Fightery, you know, they're fighting over pepperoni pizza, going to shoot each other over pepperoni pizza. But then Ma steps in, you know, and is the one who definitely runs the show. They're definitely terrified of her.
Mm-hmm. So Sean, I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is that, for anybody that didn't win the DVD, it looks like the octopus footage is on YouTube. So if you want to go look up Goonies and deleted scenes or deleted octopus. So that's the good news. The bad news is that I also found the naked pictures of Sloth, which I wish I had not looked up all of a sudden. So you're right. They're out there too.
Yeah. So, you know, go ahead and check them out yourself if you're, if you want. Show your coworkers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
John Matt Tuzek.
I'll say there might have been a little side reason to delete that scene, because if you look at it, they also basically show that Sloth and Chunk circumnavigate all of the booby traps and go what looks like an alternate way to get to the pirate ship, which is a little weird, but, you know.
Well, they do go some of the ways, because like they go through the pipes that are, you know, right. The pipe scene was funny, but they're still banging around and everything. And he even says, oh, Mikey's been here. I don't know, just because it's in chaos, he assumes that Mikey's been there. Or... but, I found it to be a touching part when Mikey has his conversation with Willie. You know, I'm watching that at work today, and I was like, yeah. Man,
it is, you know, and he's, it's like he's got that mutual respect,
right.
Which is something that you wouldn't normally see from a kid that age, I guess, but he's like, you know what, this is, you know, at the end, he's like, you can have any other treasure, but this is One-Eyed Willy's, right. You know, and so he's like, we did beat your traps, we got here, we got to you know, all the treasure, but, you know, he's like, this is yours, and we're going to leave this alone, so.
Eh. Right. Yeah, and
I don't know if I would have done the same thing.
Well,
probably, you know what? Probably not. Most kids probably wouldn't in that situation.
Right.
But it was definitely a nice, touching part, and just this conversation about, you know, you knew I was coming,
right.
Type of thing. When he's telling Will, you know, and then when he lifts up his eye patch. Ooh.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's creepy. You know, that's something that's scary for kids, just in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
when you see somebody with an eye patch or whatever.
Yeah.
So one scene near the end of the movie that I don't know that I remember as a kid, I'm sure it's just part of, you know, you have the, Well, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but there's one thing at the end that kind of bothered me this time, where Chunk is talking to Sly.
Yep.
And he says, "Hey, you're going to live with me now," mm-hmm. you know? And then he's like, you know? And so I thought, first of all, from a parent's point
Thank
of view,
you.
If my son meets a monster, I mean, not to say that the guy's a monster, but, you know, a guy, I mean, he's, first of all, he's an adult
mm-hmm.
and, you know, like, I don't know if that's a tax write-off. Like, there's a lot of angles to this
right.
that really need to be talked about. I don't know if he ran it past his parents. Like, if my kid comes home and he's like, "By the way, when I was on One-Eyed Willie's pirate treasure earlier, we met a monster and we're going to adopt him." I'd be like, "Yeah, we're going to, maybe, you know, he can live in the garage, or maybe we can chain him up somewhere else." And
well, like, even if
he likes ice cream.
Well, I would say even if the parents went along with it, it had to be like a short 2 or 3 years later when Chuck is like, no, Sloth, you can't go with me. You got, no, you know, just trying to get a little separation from him.
Right. And as an adult, and I'm being a little facetious here, but there's got to be some paperwork involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that you just go, well, you know, I don't know. I thought that it moved pretty quick into I met a giant monster and now he's going to live with us.
Yeah.
But,
well, and
I don't know.
And I will say near that very end, I love the fact that Chunk got a pizza.
Right. He
was happy. And then he turned and said, "I love you, Sloth."
Right. And so there is reconciliation for each character.
Exactly.
There's Mikey, you know, has saved the neighborhood. So that's him. You have Data, who has relied on all these gadgets for the movie. And then at the end, you know, he's like, I forget what he says, but something that, you know, the dad says, "You're my greatest invention," or something like that.
Yeah.
So they kind of, they do that.
Cause the camera breaks.
Right.
He says,
right.
"You can't hug a picture."
And then there's that scene with, Mouth and, Martha Plimpton.
Yeah.
Character's name is
Steph.
But that's it's a kind of oddly touching scene because they're both the characters that are, they're not the good looking character.
Right.
They're not the popular. They're both the kind of sidekick, and they both have that little honest moment where they're like, "You know what? You're not so disgusting," or something like that. You know, they do it in a playful way, but it's like they did kind of make that little connection. So I don't know that I appreciated that part when I was younger, but this time I think it had more meaning to me.
Yeah, and you know, as I was watching that part, I could have sworn that they like had not a makeout, but I thought for sure that they had like a little smooch, but to kind of, I don't know, I thought they had some sort of connection, thinking back of it from watching as a kid. So, but yeah, it was nice to see that they were both letting that edginess down,
right,
and letting you know probably who they really are inside, because you know. I don't know. I said I'm more like Mouth, so then I started talking about my own personal issues. So,
well, I'll interject and change the subject moderately too. With, and it was kind of ironic because just minutes earlier, when they came down the water chutes and they saw the ship, they were cheering and they hugged and they looked at each other like, "Oh, I can't believe we just hugged." So it kind of made sense that in the end they hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then speaking with Chunk and pizza, Rob, I got a question for you. In the beginning, when he's watching the massive car mm-hmm. race or car chase in the beginning, which was really cool. I liked how it kind of played through all the different Goonies and everything. And he has the pizza. Did you recognize what video game that was?
You know what? I've looked that up before. I have to look it up again.
You're letting me down there, Commodore.
I know. I should have brought that. I've seen there's websites. There's a website. I'll pull up the URL. Maybe we can put it in the show notes. There's a URL that tracks all the arcade games that appear in different movies.
Nice.
And and it has like little screenshots and stuff like that. So, I'll have to see if I can find.
Yeah, it's nobody. I didn't notice it, so I was like, well, Flack's got to know. He's
I should have brought
the big
that.
Arcade.
I swear I noticed
so
it.
So he says,
but I can't remember.
Right.
No,
it's all kidding. Really I'm Sloth, I know.
But yeah, great movie. I wanted to touch on maybe some stuff as far as the like merchandise and stuff like that that was out back in the day. I did some searching. Did you guys do any looking to see like on eBay or anything? Did you guys have anything from this from the movie, like a t-shirt, a lunchbox, or a sloth doll?
I think I might have had a lunchbox, but the only thing I really vividly remember is the video game.
Yeah.
Yep, I had the Commodore version, which, first of all, I remember what was one of the unique things was at that time, it had the Commodore, so I was a Commodore guy, it had the Commodore version on one side of the disc, and on the other side, it was either Atari or Apple, but so, you know, depending on, you know, so they sold it for both, so they didn't make different versions, you know, you would just buy one thing, but I remember the biggest thing I remember about that game, first of all, is that it was just hard as crap.
Yep.
You know, and then, of course, this is way before, this is pre-internet, this is pre-walkthrough, anything like that, you know. So I remember you had to, like, do something where you had to, you know, just like in the movie, you started in the first room. And I think it's different than the version that was on the Nintendo, but you had to, you know, basically break the water bottle and get the water to flow underneath the thing. So you could start going down or whatever. But that probably, the first scene probably took me a month to get through. And the other thing that sticks out in my mind about that game is, and something we could talk about is the Cyndi Lauper song.
Yeah.
The Goonies theme. And so the Commodore version had, I don't know, 15 to 20 seconds of that. It seems like that just looped forever, like a worm that just bored into your brain, you know. So I mean, just repetitive over and over.
Yeah, I liked some of Cyndi Lauper's stuff when I was a kid. It definitely, you know,
yeah, I'll say
it was very popular.
Yeah, I'll say I liked it. Some of it I liked it because it was kitschy kind of thing as a kid, but as an adult, I gotta say her talent was very underrated. She actually had very good voice control, pitch, inflection, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you know what? Looking back now, I don't know if I can say this, but...
she's hot. Even though she had no chest, I'll say that, she was hot.
She definitely was, mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking back at it now as an adult, I like Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, there's that... what's the... time now. See, here we go. Well, I'm going to start referencing random Cyndi Lauper videos. I'm going to out myself here, but is it Time After Time? I think where in the video she's like, she has that moment where she takes the hat off and she reveals that crazy hairstyle that she had, and then the boyfriend's all mad, and I'm like, I will take you, Cyndi Lauper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you bring your crazy hair over. We'll play Goonies all night long.
Time after come time. Over.
Exactly. Well, and it'd be time after time because I think that game took like 12 minutes to load. So we would have plenty of time to reminisce and sing Cyndi Lauper classics.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't own anything, but definitely remember the MTV days, man.
Right.
Definitely remember.
I seriously think I had a metal lunchbox. I seriously think I do, but it might just be, you know.
Well, Rob, did you find anything or no? I mean,
you know,
I did some searching.
Well, I recently, we have a chain of stores here called Vintage Stock, which is similar to FYE, those type of places where they have different collectibles. You know, they have a lot of toys and then video games, records, stuff like that. And they have a line of, I guess, fairly modern Goonies action figures.
Yeah, I saw those.
The problem is that, unfortunately, I think Vintage Stock gets a lot of, what do they call it, like overstock from other stores or whatever. So they have like a whole bunch of mouth and a whole bunch of like maybe brand or something, but there's no, like if there was a chunk or
mouth.
A, right, you know, I mean, if there was a somebody that really summed up the movie, I would probably buy it, but it seems like
you're not getting the clan
Troy, right, you know.
Well, you know what I did find, and reasonably priced too on eBay, you remember the old Burger King, Pizza Hut, you know, promo glasses, you know, I'm sure, you know, we had Star Wars glasses and stuff like there was a set, I believe a set of four promo glasses, which had like the organ scene on there. It's got Chunk Saves the Day. The Goonies, going down, I forget, there's a couple of them I found on eBay. So if I'm still working next week, I think they were pretty reasonably priced, like maybe $15 or something.
Nice, nice.
I found them.
One thing about the action figures that I saw in the store is, you don't have normal action figures like on a bubble type card. So the figure mm-hmm. is there and then they're sealed to the card. On the Goonies action figures, the card, it kind of extends up and it has the skull. Skull that he used as the key or whatever that he put later on to try to defeat one of One-Eyed Willie's traps or whatever.
Right.
And I think the eyes and the nose and the skull are even cut out on the card. So it's definitely one of those things that, the card makes it worth, I don't know, it just adds to the packaging. So I always like toys like that. The bad news is I'm looking on eBay right now, and this is a larger. This is a 12-inch sloth, which is more sloth than I think anybody needs. But it's and buy it now for $80. There's some there's lots of the figures, different people. Here's a mouth. Here's a Mikey. They're all in the $25 to $30 range.
Now, these are newer creations?
Yeah, these were done, I think, probably within the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, see, for as popular as a movie as this is, I mean, gosh, you go to Star Wars or something like that. I mean, Rob, I mean, if people could see the video behind you, you have quite the collection. I really couldn't find anything. The glasses I found, which I thought were great. I'd rather have those in an action figure because as an adult now, I'll actually use them. And I did find all I could find was a lunchbox thermos.
Mm. I'm with Dora. I do definitely remember. I don't know that I had one. I think all my lunchboxes were Star Wars ones, actually. But I do remember some kids having Goonies lunchboxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have one, but I know that I remember... somebody.
I'll just say if I did, it surely was not anyone turning up in an image search.
Yeah. And just talking on the fact that it was such a popular movie, it has more of a following that I just realized than I thought. Doing some searches, I had found a site, thegoonies.org, like a fan site, a lot of stuff there, but I found there was an unauthorized story of the Goonies by these two guys. And I will put that link in the show notes because it really is something I think people should check out. They do some interviews with the actors and I believe the writer. I don't know if Steven Spielberg's on it, but people go to the actual house in Astoria, have their pictures taken. When I first started tweeting out the contest, and I would go and check the hashtag Goonies because it comes up, like on Twitter, sometimes you make a hashtag up of your own. It's not really a hashtag, but if you start to type a hashtag, that's something, it'll automatically give you it. And Goonies came right up and I checked some hashtags and I was finding just people who had their pictures taken, in front of the actual house.
Oh, nice.
But you should really check it. Yeah. You should really check out this site. You used to be able to buy this video, The Making of a Cult Classic, the unauthorized story of the Goonies.
It's an actual like movie that you can buy or?
Well, you used to be able to buy it on the site and every link I was trying to find, I you couldn't buy it. And then I found, they have some forums and where people are asking questions. Actually, they have a Facebook page and I found it and people were asking and one of the guys who created it said, we are actually taking all the rest of the DVDs and they are going to Astoria, I believe it is, where there's probably, I think there's some sort of a gift shop or something to give them the proceeds from the movie. So, but it's really cool. I'll also put in a link. There's a link to a 5-minute clip of the movie. So it's pretty interesting. I mean, I don't know how often people go out west that way, northwest, but it's a cool little site to check out. And I don't know if you guys ever saw this. It was pretty popular a couple months back. It was a guy who had made a video for his kid with, you guys remember Thomas the Tank Engines?
Oh, yeah.
The little toy ones?
Sure.
Well, he took one. I don't think it was Thomas, but he took one of those toys and he animated a face on it, and he would put it on, he put it on like a balloon or something like that and flying in the air, and he made it for his kid. It was this real popular video. Well, he's one of the guys who did this Goonies video. Oh. So
yeah, I don't know that I mean, it's an old enough movie where I don't know that if I hadn't, I mean, I had to, what's the right to say, purposefully introduce this to my kids. You know what I mean? Like, they mm-hmm. hadn't heard of it. They, I don't, I guess they haven't seen it on TV or whatever. There's not a lot of modern, you know, there's stuff like, let's say Star Wars. I mean, that's an obvious example, or Tron even. You know, there's a Tron show that's on Disney right now.
That's good.
So, you know, so people see the Tron thing, and then my kids are like, oh, there's Tron. I'm like, oh, have you seen the original? So there's modern type shows or references that tie back. Even my son is enough on the internet where he's seen Tron Guy, you know, so he wants to know, like, yeah. Well, what's the point of Tron Guy? And so you do that. But there's not that many modern references to Goonies, so I don't know that a lot of kids today have been exposed to it. But like I said, a little bit questionable language, nothing too bad. And we have the rule in my house that, hey, you know, I mean, basically our rule is you can hear people say it on TV. If your mother hears you repeating it, then you don't get to watch any more movies with dad. So,
right.
But, you know, so I'm glad that I did sit down with the kids and watch it. And I think they enjoyed it. Even if they see it as, they might see it as the way that we were as kids. Maybe they can't relate to it as the adventures they go on now, but they could definitely see that I enjoyed it, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would say my son, my oldest son, knows and understands the rule. When it's just me and him in the room, he can say anything he wants to say. Mom's around, you watch your mouth.
Right. My wife will go cut off the cable in a heartbeat, so... You know, if she hears my kid saying one word like that, then we're done, you know, and I'm sure she'll just come in and smash all my DVDs. So we got a good arrangement with the kids. It's, you know, like I said, you can hear it. That's one thing. You better not repeat it.
Yeah. So do you think doing this podcast then will have you introduce more things to them that you wouldn't normally have done?
My kids are subjected constantly to my goofy 80s obsession, you know, whether it's movies or TV shows or cartoons, you know, and I think it's fun, you know, to them. Like, I remember when a few years ago when the Smurfs came out, you know, that was a big thing, and my kids knew who the Smurfs were, but a lot of other kids didn't. They might, you know, have seen Smurfs or whatever, but I already forced my kids to watch, you know, the TV show, and then I give them quizzes over things. So, but what I do hope that comes out of this podcast is that maybe people will, you know, watch Goonies with their kids.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm the same way. You know, my kids, my oldest boy, he likes when I watch Golden Girls. He'll sit down and watch it with me, you know. You know, I'm not judged. It's kind of nice. He's still at a decent age where he's not embarrassed to, well, he wouldn't let his friends know that he watches it with me, but. You know, I don't know, man. I think we pretty much covered how we feel about the movie The Goonies. I mean, and for people listening, you know, we definitely have changed the format. Instead of telling people, you know, going through the movie scene by scene, we're doing more of kind of just talking about how we feel about the movie, what we thought of it, and, you know, certain scenes and stuff like that. And I kind of think it's a little better this way. So, but I'd love to hear feedback from people, you know, see what they think of the new format of the show.
Well, and I think it gives people, you know, because like last week we announced that we were going to do Goonies. So that gives you that 2 weeks, if you want to track it down, and, you know, if you haven't seen it, or maybe you haven't seen it since it was new, you know, you can watch it and then, you know, come to the show and then, you know, hear what we have to say about it. And I think we're available. I know there's the Throwback Reviews podcast group or page on Facebook. Yep. Is it Throwback Review or Throwback Reviews on Twitter?
Throwback Review.
On okay. Twitter. And it's also, there's a Google Plus presence. Is that right?
Well, the Google Plus is just my account.
Okay.
It's just me. I didn't start a community. You can do that, but But yeah, I mean, I'll plus out Android stuff and stuff related to this podcast and my other podcast. So.
So yeah, if you you know, feedback from any of those, or you know, if you have things that you want us to talk about, if you know, if we tell you what the next episode is going to be about, that'd be a good way to drop us a line as well. Any of those.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this: like when we do announce a movie, if it usually like right now because it's summertime, we're going bi-weekly. If I can find like if it is available, because there's a lot of movies on YouTube in their full length. Instead of broken up in parts, if I find it, if you go to throwbackreviews.com and you go to the videos tab, I will post, you know, I will embed the movie there so you can watch it or click it from there to go to YouTube or whatever. So if it's available, definitely we'll let people know to at least let them know to go check the website and see if maybe it's up there, because not everything is on Netflix streaming. Not everybody has a video store around them still.
Yeah.
So some of them are, depending on what they are, a little harder. I think Goonies is probably a little easier of a movie. Plus most people have seen it, but you know, not everybody.
Yeah. But you put those links on the website?
Yep.
Oh, and you just updated the website. I just saw that. It looks nice.
Oh yeah. Thanks.
It's very retro.
Very retro-y. It's
very throwback.
Very 70s-ish looking. I really like the browns in it and stuff. So, yeah, people should go check that out. And the site is just posts of the episodes. But there's links in there for your stuff, for Door stuff, for my stuff, other shows that we're on. There's About the Host, which Rob, you're on there. I'm on there. Steve, who was on the show previous, Door's not on there, but it's not my fault. But yeah, and like I said, photos and videos, you can go there and get video clips. So
Door, why are you not on there? People want to know about the Door.
I always want Sean to need something from me, so I always have a card to play.
There'll be no car because if I don't have anything by the time I get back this weekend, I'm just put my own thing up there for Door. So.
Okay.
Hey, you guys.
Exactly.
But so let's, guys, let's go around and tell people where they can, if they don't go to the site, where they can find stuff of yours. Why don't we start with Door?
First, I got to say, I love the fact on Google Maps, it's actually called the Goonie House. That's fantastic.
Nice.
Podnuts.com is the easiest way to see what I'm doing. Google Plus, Stephen McLaughlin. Phonetically, that is Stephen McLaughlin. Good luck with that, people. And I want to personally take this moment to thank John Harris. John Harris is the man that invented what we know today. He modernized bacon. Thank you, John Harris.
Bringing the bacon love to Throwback Reviews. Oh, I thought I could avoid
it. He's a good man.
All right, Rob, how about you, buddy?
Hey, you can find me and all my stuff at robohara.com. The link to my other podcast, You Don't Know Flack, is on there, or you can skip ahead to podcast.robohara.com. And so basically, all my stuff's there. Oh, and you can find regular posts for me at The Retroist as well.
Remember, folks, your kids won't know a thing about Atari or the Smurfs unless you educate them. So have them listen to The Retroist Podcast weekly at Retroist.com. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, another great site and inspiration for me, at least, to do this type of podcast. It's great scene over there. Great blog. I do occasional posting over there. Great podcast too. So you check out the Retroist Podcast.
Yeah. The last episode was Galaga. So yeah. I did a whole thing about Galaga, and I did a little brief stint, the little talking tech segment. But every one of his episodes, and I think this is probably a sign of a good podcast, is, you know, immediately after I hear one of his podcasts, I want to run out and go delve into whatever he just talked about, you know. So like right after Galaga, I was like, oh, I gotta go play some Galaga now, you know. It's like everything that's like that, you know. And I hope people do the same thing with this show as well. I hope people go, if you haven't seen the Goonies, you go watch that or watch or whatever it is that we do on the next show. What are we doing on the next show?
The next show, which will be in 2 weeks, we're going to do an episode called Summer Fun. Just kind of some stuff we used to do to entertain ourselves during the summer times when we were kids, you know, in between school. Maybe, you know, adventures of our own that we went on or just stuff like that. So
we'll have to put some disclaimers. I'll give details about how to build traps to secure your fort, you know. Don't try this at home.
Yeah, and we touched on that this episode, so maybe we'll get a little deeper into some of our fort building and stuff like that.
Oh, but, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, it'll be fun, and we'll do that in 2 weeks. As far as my stuff, like Rob said, really, you could just at Throwback Review on Twitter. There is the Facebook page. It's Throwback Reviews Podcast on Facebook. It's a page, right, Rob?
Yeah.
I'm new to Facebook, so. I kind of messed up. I made my own Facebook, which I changed things around, but it is Throwback Review, so it's kind of messed. It's kind of screwy. But if you want a link to that for some reason, if you go to the website, like I said before, throwbackreviews.com, you go to the host, there's links to my Google Plus and stuff like that. Also, we are on Stitcher, so you can stream us on Stitcher. If you got a car with Stitcher or you have it on your phone or something, you want to take a walk and listen to us, you can do that. If you're as kind, you could leave us a review on the old iTunes. That would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Get us, you know, start to build us up in the rankings over there. And last, I want to thank Pixel 8 again. He's got great music, man. He 8-bit music. You can go to soundcloud.com/retropeachy. He has got a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff. So, but that's gonna wrap up our show this week. We look forward to our summer fun episode in a couple weeks. So, until next time, thanks for listening.
Here. I smell ice cream.